You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Please leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Follow us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 6'7 to score. Cody, three practices down, no injuries.
And bombs away for Dwayne Wade.
Bombs away.
Bulls coach Fred Hoiberg telling Dwayne Wade, shoot three-pointers when it's there, when it's open, when you see fit. This is a big deal because Dwayne Wade is not a three-point shooter. I believe hovering around 28% in his career. 7 of 44 last year in 74 games for the Heat from three-point range, Sean. To repeat, for emphasis, he made 7 three-pointers last year. He only shot 44 the entire season. That's about half a three-pointer per game. Were you taken aback by that quote right away?
I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting because I actually remembered. This literally just popped into my head right now. I didn't even think about this earlier when he said this, but 3 years ago during the summer, after the second Heat championship, this was when I was still working for USA Today, I did a phone interview with Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
I think it was for a promotion for, Dove or something. And I asked him a few basketball questions at the end after he was promoting whatever Dove commercial he was shooting with his kids, which is why they let me do the interview. You know how it is with these things. Some PR person from a company will email you and say, "Hey, you want to interview this person? You can talk about basketball, but you have to also plug whatever this thing is." So I asked him. This was after the second Heat title, after they beat San Antonio in 2013. I asked him what he's doing to work on his game, and he said that he was working on improving his outside shooting. This was 3 years ago. The following year, 2013-14, the last LeBron year in Miami.
Went 9 for 32 the following season after he told you that, according to statistics here on basketballreference.com.
28%.
Yeah, that's kind of his
the next
whole
year,
career 24, average.
2014-15, 28.4. Last year, 15.9. Career average, 28.4 from three.
So this is a fairly big development if there's meaning behind this. If this is really what Fred wants D-Wade to do, fire away from three-point range and not feel bad about it, not think twice about it, he's bad at it. It's not good if he shoots less of three-pointers, I can guarantee you that. And I know Dwayne Wade mentioned that because of Rondo and Butler on the floor, he's not going to have the ball in his hands quite as much as last year with the Heat when he shot 44 threes, so that will offer him more opportunities to do so from long range. But at the same time, I don't know if that's where you want those shots going. That's just not an efficient use of basketball resources whatsoever. And it was kind of funny because Dwayne Wade said, "It's refreshing for me because I've never been told to shoot it from long range. This is the first time someone's telling me to shoot the three ball." So shout out to Eric Spoelstra, who knew what Dwayne Wade did really well in Miami, told him what he was doing really well to keep doing it and tell him not to shoot threes. In Chicago,
There's a reason Eric Spoelstra is still the coach in Miami after, I think he's been there for around 10 years now. There's a reason he's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league, so he knows how to use his players and get the most out of them. You know what's kind of interesting, though? I'm still looking up Dwayne Wade's shooting numbers. The last two playoffs that he's played in,
big game
shot
player,
pretty well from three. Last year, obviously, he shot 52.2%, which is ridiculously
small sample
outlier.
Size
but
in the playoffs.
The year before, the last playoff, because they missed the playoffs in 2015 after Bosch had the first blood clots incident. But then 2013-14, the last LeBron year in Miami, Wade, in 20 games, he shot 37.5% from three, and that was 9 for 24, which is not terrible.
Yeah, but that's five games in the playoffs, it's a small sample. It means nothing to me. Absolutely nothing.
I know it does. I just thought that was interesting to point out. No, I'm totally with you. I think it's hilarious that he's talking about suddenly at age 34, when he's never been a good three-point shooter in his career, suddenly just hey, this is what I'm going to do now. And the idea that he's never had open threes or had the opportunity to shoot threes, he's had all the open threes in the world that he wants over his career. Teams leave him open because they know that he's a career 28% three-point shooter.
Been smart about getting to the hoop, and I loved the Dwayne Wade flexing kind of with his quote about why he hasn't shot a lot of threes in recent years. He said, "No one's been able to take away what I wanted to do, so why would I do something else?" Like, that is swag right
that
there.
Is
that
excellent.
Is awesome.
That is excellent.
I don't know how this is going to...
He was flexing his muscle a little bit because the other big thing that he did in his availability today, and I have to say, through the intro press conference, media day, and one training camp availability, I'm enjoying the
experience
of covering Dwayne Wade so far. He's excellent with media, regardless of whether what he says is true or not. But he said, you know, he was talking about kind of the way last season went for the Bulls and how, you know, it was a disappointing season and they didn't make the playoffs and all this. And he said that he listened to some of the guys who have been on the team for longer, like Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic, guys who've been there for a little bit longer than he has, and asked, like, kind of what went wrong. And he said, some of the things they said, I know they're not going to take place now that I'm here and now that Rondo's here.
That's awesome.
So he's just putting his foot
down.
The
sheriff is in town in the Bulls locker room. It's not Fred Hoiberg. It's Dwayne Wade that's going to set the tone in there. And this
as it well should
a
be
good
he's
development
an all-time
for the
great player who has the most clout of anybody in this organization now that he's in the, and I'm not talking about like organizational clout, I'm talking about like among if you're an NBA player, if you're a younger NBA player, are you going to listen to the coach who's only in his second year in the NBA and didn't make the playoffs last year, or are you going to listen to Dwayne Wade,
who's a three-time champion,
finals MVP, future Hall of Famer?
Well, here's the thing about Dwayne Wade. He's an alpha dog just in his personality.
Yes,
according to Rondo. Jimmy Butler, I think the verdict's still out a little bit on that. He wants to be an alpha personality, but he doesn't exactly know how to do it, I don't think, in the right manner. I mean, there's probably levels of that, but the Bulls just didn't have that last year in the sense of that wasn't Pau Gasol, that wasn't Derrick Rose, that wasn't Mike Dunleavy.
Joakim Noah, but he was away from the team for
a
while.
He got hurt, and even Joe's a little more, he has his own goofy, special way to go about that. He does have the fire.
But he does really connect with all his teammates.
Yeah, he truly cared and connected, but it was hard when he was out with the injury, like you pointed out, Sean. So to have Dwayne Wade and that alpha personality back, that's important for a basketball team. Like, I think every team needs someone like that. I think it's very helpful when it's your best player, one of your best players, someone who's going to have the ball in their hands a lot. So if you're looking for the positive vibes, I think that's good because he's not afraid to say anything, Dwayne Wade. We know that. We'll find that out. The Bulls locker room will find that out. But I like, too, how he's like, yeah, you know, I went and talked to these guys and was like, what was going on in the locker room last year? And he didn't divulge too many details.
No, he didn't give any details, actually. But it was kind of obvious. You and I both covered the team all year, Cody. Like, they didn't actively just not like each other. They were just kind of sick of being around each other.
It was a weary effect.
Right, it was the kind of like, this was a whole group with, you know, Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler, all these guys who had been together for so many years. It just kind of grows stale after a while, especially this same group that's so used to doing stuff one way, then they get a new coach who wants to play a totally different style. It was just kind of a weird mix, and we've gone over this many times, but it was just time for them to move on from some of those guys, Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, the guys they didn't bring back this summer.
Yeah, stale's not a word we'll use with the Bulls this year.
No?
I don't think, it could be high drama, it could be fireworks, it could be...
It'll be interesting,
interesting
though.
On some nights, and just bad shooting on other nights that lead to losses, but I don't think it'll be stale.
No, absolutely not. And I just wrote a column today for The Athletic, which you should go and read and subscribe to The Athletic, by the way, if you want to read all of my work and read all of the other work from the great writers covering the Chicago sports teams in the city. But I wrote a column today just kind of about the stuff Wade said.
The culture change?
Yeah, the culture change, and about how he's, you know, at a point that I made, and I don't want to give the whole column away because I think you should go and subscribe and read it, but basically, even if Wade is only going to be here in Chicago for a couple of years, because, he's 34. He's at the tail end of his career. They didn't sign him thinking he's going to be here for 5 or 10 mm-hmm. years, obviously, because just of his age, where he is in his career. But for these young guys that they're trying to have be the future, you know, guys like Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine and Nico Mirotic, if those guys, pretty early on in their career, get to be around a guy like Dwayne Wade, who's one of the most respected players of the last 15 or 20 years in the NBA, one of the most accomplished guys, and just gets to see how he goes about his business. And if any of that, I mean, you look at it, and obviously none of these guys are nearly the prospect that Karl-Anthony Towns is, but you've heard Karl-Anthony Towns talk so much about what it meant that Kevin Garnett was there in the locker room with him this year and learning from him. And I think however good the Bulls may or may not be this year, having Dwayne Wade around for guys to learn from, I think, is going
to
be a positive.
Well, what's interesting to me, I know they're going to say all the right things, especially in training camp. Dwayne Wade is the younger guy.
2 days into camp, everybody's optimistic.
But I want to see the actions on the court. Absolutely. Even at the start of the preseason, but even more so, obviously, in the regular season, just how Dwayne Wade acts around the younger guys, how they act around him, the level of respect, how much they go to him, like, there's going to be turnovers. How does he respond when they are on the wrong end of a run by an opponent? How does Dwayne Wade respond? How do those younger guys respond just in their interactions with each other? Because, I mean, not to put too much emphasis on football here, but the Bears are a disaster so far.
They're
early
not good.
In the season.
And if you want to hear the inside scoop about the Bears, by the way, you should check out Locked On Bears by Arthur Arkush, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Bears are a disaster, and Jay Cutler's yelling at his second-year receiver in the first game of the year, and he's getting yelled at by his injured linebacker in the second game of the year, I think. And that's just disastrous. Like, you can tell when that's going wrong. And on a basketball court, 82 games, and sometimes more emotion, too, depending on the night in a basketball game. Like, there's even more opportunity for that and stuff. So how they interact matters. Last year's team, it felt like maybe they didn't interact enough, and that was the problem.
See, that's the thing. They just didn't, like, it was always a dead locker room before and after games. You didn't really see guys,
like,
hanging out.
Even if it was a big game.
Even if it was a big game. You know, it was kind of funny because, so after the Bulls missed the playoffs last year, I went home to Portland to visit my family, and I covered the Blazers' first-round series against the Clippers.
The one they rallied in. Correct?
Yeah, well, after Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both got injured in Game 4. But anyway, I went to some Blazers practices out there in Portland. I was in the locker room before the game, and just guys in that locker room were, like, joking around with each other and hanging out pregame and, like, listening to music together, and it seemed like they actually enjoyed being around each other, and it was such a shock for me coming from this Bulls locker room where, you know, you go in pregame, there's like maybe two guys in the locker room just with headphones on, doing their own thing, and then afterwards, everybody's just kind of getting changed and rolling out.
Yeah, and I think the young guys contribute a lot to that. You would probably agree. Portland's a fairly young team, or at least a lot of young guys being led there by Dame Lillard.
Well, that's
and,
the thing. They have that alpha dog personality in Damian Lillard, who is their best player and is somebody that, like, a personality that people rally around.
Yeah, the enthusiasm level, though, I think that's what maybe more than anything, if the young guys, if they're not going to get big minutes where they can still contribute, is just a little bit more of a positive vibe at times, a little more liveliness, because again, we're not going to sit here and act like the Bulls games are won and lost on momentum, but there is something to say for the attitude and just the vibe going around and everything. And that's what the Bulls are harping on early. It's exactly what we expected them to say. But it will be those actions starting, I think, the preseason game on Monday night's their opener against the Bucks. But little by little, we're going to kind of see everything revealed there. But did want to transition, too, back to a little bit more of a basketball point.
Sure.
We know Rajon Rondo is going to be the starting point guard. The backup point guard, who knows right now, huh?
We asked Fred about it at camp today, and he said that he hasn't really made a decision. He's still just running different guys. He mentioned Jaren Grant, obviously. He mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie. He mentioned that he's also been giving Denzel Valentine some looks with the second unit as a point guard and with some of the guys. And I think that's probably the place where Valentine, because he's not going to get any minutes at small forward if that's where Jimmy Butler is going to be sliding.
Jimmy's going to play a lot of minutes.
He's going to play a lot of minutes there, especially if he's playing alongside Wade. He's not really going to get minutes there. I think being the backup point guard, and one of the things that the Bulls liked so much about Denzel when they drafted him was his ability to handle the ball and run the offense, even for his size. And so I think if he can really establish himself as that and get some of those backup point guard minutes, that's probably his clearest path to carving out an actual role in the rotation early on in the season.
Yeah, and that hints at a reduced role for Jaren Grant and also Isaiah Cannon, who Isaiah obviously is more, as you pointed out on several instances, more of a catch-and-shoot three-point
guy. He's
going to
be like the Aaron Brooks type guy.
Yeah, so he's a guy who can run the point. Obviously, Aaron Brooks did that in the past couple of years. But a guy that they're not relying on to run the pick and roll, they're relying on more some instant offense and a
buckets.
Three-point shooter guy, but that feels, this is hinting at more of a situational role for those guys, and they should do this, because if they're going to spend the 14th overall draft pick on Denzel Valentine, and he's an older college guy, you know, he's not 19
here. Right, he's not like a guy, even with somebody like Bobby Portis, he's 20, you can say, he might be 21 now, but he's really young, you can say, okay, if he takes a couple more years to mature, that's fine. But with Denzel Valentine, he's a four-year college player. He needs to, you know, they've drafted him because he's ready to play right now and ready to contribute. So you kind of have to find minutes for him somewhere. It's the same thing that made it so frustrating his rookie season when they drafted Doug McDermott and then Tom Thibodeau basically never played him.
Yeah, and I think didn't Doug's knee get injured too?
Well, right, like he missed like 6 weeks with injury, but he just never played after
I remember
that.
Before that season started, we were asking Tibbs questions. I think it might have just kind of been not even on the record so much as just small talk, and he was pointing out like, you know, like no NBA championship since 1975 has won with two rookies in their rotation. Among their top 8 or 9, like he was spewing facts like that,
right,
or something.
Right, and that just kind of made you realize, okay, Doug's not going to play.
It's like, it's not going to be Doug and Nico this year, you know what I mean? It's going to be one or the other, and they kind of hedged toward Nico, obviously.
I'm really interested to see how Tom handles such a young roster like he has now in Minnesota, especially with Chris Dunn, who was their number 5 pick, also a 4-year college guy.
And they love him, right?
They love him, yeah. Tom was really... really into him before the draft. Like he was one of the guys I was talking to him at the combine, and he said he loves him
because he knew the Bulls liked him, and he wanted to make sure he wasn't
going
to Chicago.
Well, no, but he is also a good. I think he's also going to be a good fit for them in terms of, you know, he's a point guard who can shoot a little bit more than Ricky Rubio can. He's also a pretty good defender. So.
All-around basketball player.
Right, but, like, is he going to get the minutes? Because Tibbs, other than Omer Asik, Tibbs, even Mirotić his rookie year didn't really get
minutes. It was later in the season.
It was more, right, it was more like there was that time where I think Dunleavy was injured for, a few weeks, and so he tried that weird lineup
small
with him,
forward.
With Nico at small forward alongside Pau and Noah.
I still remember I wrote a story, and, like, I had a comment in that story when Nico played small forward. I think they had one excellent game against the Rockets
right,
where
they
did it.
There was
and a, I wrote, like, have we, is a question, it wasn't a statement, so I give myself a little credit there, I think. But it's like, have we seen the future of the Bulls here? Nico at 3? And then it went all downhill.
Oh, I think I wrote the exact same column as you about, like, hey, they found something here with Nico Mirotić playing the 3, and then that was the only good game.
It was just the matchup that night that worked, and a few shots went down. It wasn't going to be sustained.
It just goes to show you can never read too much into a small sample size, so it's just your reminder, whatever we see in these preseason games that start next week, don't overreact to a lot of it.
Okay, so when we write about Dwayne Wade going 2-for-4 from three-point range, just kind of rein it in a little
bit. I don't think I'm going to be writing the, is Dwayne Wade the new Kyle Korver for the Bulls? Is he now going to play the Kyle Korver role?
I respect preseason so much, or I should say disrespect it so much, that I might actually write that story.
I really hope you do. I think you can do that. I don't know if John will let me write that.
onto more Dwayne Wade news, though. We have
hard Dwayne Wade news.
A semi-resolution on how Dwayne Wade's... What our listeners are always waiting for. Pre-game introduction.
That's true.
That fringe entertainment basketball news. Derrick Rose obviously has been introduced last whenever he's healthy.
And he's been introduced as from Chicago.
From Chicago. Dwayne Wade said today he's going to be introduced as from Chicago, Illinois.
Right, he's got to put the Illinois in there because he's not actually from Chicago, he's from Robbins.
Yeah, which is far south side, kind
of
down there.
But he's also in, you know, he's in the community.
Side.
His mother is a pastor in the city. Like, he has ties in the community, so he's kind of putting the Chicago, Illinois in there to have it be just like the whole state.
Yeah, it's okay, we'll count it, you know what I mean? It's close enough, it's off 557 down there. So, Dwayne Wade also, though, said he didn't mind whether he's introduced first, second, third, fourth, or fifth and last.
Right, because if you remember when he was in Miami with LeBron and Bosh, LeBron would get introduced first and he would get introduced last, and I think that was mostly just because he was the one who had been in Miami for longer and he was like the fan favorite because he was the guy who'd been there his whole career. But I'll be really interested to see. We asked Dwayne about this today just sort of as a follow-up to the how do you want to be introduced question. And he insisted that even in Miami, it wasn't the player's choice who got introduced last, which makes it a little...
It's probably Pat Riley's choice, right?
I mean, I guess. I find it a little bit hard to believe that players with the stature of LeBron and Dwayne Wade have zero input on this kind of stuff. But yeah. I'm going to be really interested to see... Let's say they introduce Wade last because he's from Chicago. I feel like whoever's running the PA stuff has to understand that the politically correct thing to do would be to put Jimmy Butler's name last because you don't want to piss him off. He's the kind of guy, like, I feel like Wade and Rondo have other things to worry about than who gets introduced last.
My gut is that Jimmy Butler will be introduced last.
I think you're probably right.
Because Rondo and Wade, both at their introductory press briefings in Chicago, said this is Jimmy's team.
And he's basically. Also, now that Derrick Rose is gone and Joakim Noah is gone, he's like the longest tenured star on the team.
Other than, yeah, Taj is longer tenured coming off.
Taj might not start,
Ben's
though.
Ben's probably. We don't know. That's the
Fred
one.
Fred hasn't showed starting, his hand, but I would still guess that Nico's going to start.
Starting spot up in the air. But I would guess Jimmy Butler. And I mean, I think it'd be a good show of leadership for Wade to just say, Jimmy, you should just have it. Like, I don't think this needs to go up the chain of command in the organization. I think Dwayne just needs to say, hey, Jimmy, that's you. Tell Fred, tell one of your bosses there in management, and they'll just relay the word onto the PA address and entertainment, anyone working for Bulls, running videos, anything. I think that would be the proper way to handle it. Before we finish up on the podcast, did want to relay a little bit of news out
Hard
of New York.
Hard joke, Noah news.
Out of New York, former Bulls.
Joakim Noah missed media day, and he missed the first day of camp. Why, you ask? Well, all we knew before today was that it was a family thing. But we found out today that he had a daughter, so congratulations to Joakim Noah. That's big. I believe this is his first child.
I don't think
he has any other kids, but congratulations to him. That's great news. That's a perfectly good reason to miss the first 2 days of training
camp.
Yeah,
so that's excellent for him. A little bit of a new family scene there as he also goes back to New York. And also along the Joakim Noah regards of basketball, he expressed, I didn't read this story exactly, but
so
he insinuated he's a little perturbed.
A few weeks ago, Cody, when Jerry Reinsdorf was going into the Hall of Fame, he did some interviews. A lot of this was with Casey Johnson from the Tribune, that they let Noah go because they saw what he was going to get paid on the open market and decided he wasn't a top five.
$72 million.
Right, which is what the Knicks gave him, which obviously is, I think the Bulls, we've talked about this before again, the Bulls absolutely made the right decision not bringing him back if that's what it was going to cost him. But Noah said today to reporters that it was a little bit of a low blow that Jerry Reinsdorf would say that about him. And I mean, I kind of agree with him that it maybe isn't the thing you say publicly, but I mean, honestly, I don't think you can really fault the Bulls' decision to not bring Noah back at this point in his career with all the injuries he's had for that much money. And I think in terms of where they are at these points in their career, I think having Robin Lopez is going to be an upgrade over what Joakim was the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I mean, the Bulls aren't exactly they're probably the worst team in the NBA when it comes to just copying pasting the template of what to do in press releases sometimes. I mean,
except for when they fired Tom.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When they fired Tom, like, you just say thank you. But Reinsdorf scorched Tom's inability to communicate and not instill the culture that they wanted from top to bottom of the organization. And we all know, dating back to the Luol Deng era, there were multiple miscommunications. Some of them via press releases.
Shout out to the press release when they traded him to the Cavs, where it said that Bulls conveyed the contract of Luol Deng for a guy who'd been there 9 years and forever.
Exactly. And I mean, there was the spinal tap he had, some of the injuries he had. I think it was, they once recommended active rest, I think, if the more wise men on the beat who wrote about the Bulls.
When he died with his meningitis.
Yeah, it was. They've had some mishaps in the press release game and just how to sometimes say thank you to people. So that's actually why, like, this is all going to come to a head November 4th when the Knicks visit and December 13th when Tom and the Timberwolves visit. Like, hard feelings. The Bulls just aren't always good at striking the right note and saying thank you.
Well, they're going to be, I think, from the other side, it's going to be diplomatic. Especially with Tom Thibodeau, he's been nothing but complimentary about the Bulls in public since he got that job.
I have an idea.
What?
Let Dwayne Wade make the video and write the press releases for how to thank Tibbs and Joe and Derek, and it will be a problem.
Oh, just have him write it and give it to whoever.
He's the perfect basketball politician. He's great at all this stuff. I think that's just perfect. because he always strikes the right note so far in his Bulls tenure. So any pointers, go to Dwayne Wade.
I feel like the move is to have Jimmy record it just to send a message that it wasn't him that drove Derek out of town.
Oh man, that's what we do on this podcast. We read into everything. And anxiously await.
That's what
what's
we do.
To come.
That's really
the regular season.
It's
hopefully
more what we do when there's not any actual games to talk about and just some platitudes from training camp.
And we'll probably be talking the same things next week when the preseason gets underway, because we're not huge preseason fans, not huge preseason guys, but we will keep bringing you the Bulls news. They have practice again Thursday. We'll have a podcast for you then. I believe they have double sessions scheduled this weekend too for Saturday, Sunday. Season opener, preseason opener, Monday, United Center against the Bucks. As always, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, basketball-related questions for us. Follow us on Twitter at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken, at lockedonbulls. Follow us on Facebook, and most of all, subscribe to us.
iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Subscribe to The Athletic if you want to read my work.
670score.com for mine. As always, thanks for listening, and catch you next time.